We were talking in the past to set the ideas, the certain foundations that need to be laid in order for us to teach other people. There has to be a foundation of an understanding of who God is and the nature of God. We have to have an understanding that the Bible is God's Word and is our source of authority. Then we also need to understand that Christ resurrected. Jesus came to earth, died on our behalf, and was resurrected. And that idea is a foundation that has to be agreed on if we're going to become and teach other people what Christianity is about. And then last time we talked about the fact that we all have to live that gospel. Some people never go around to actually read the Bible. And it's our lives that they see that bring that gospel message to them. But also, if we're going to teach other people, if we don't live it, then we're telling other people we really don't believe it. And now what we're going to look at is another aspect of it. We're talking about foundations. Well, foundations are only good if they last. Build your house on something like sand, as Jesus used in the Sermon on the Mount. And when troubles come, it crumbles. If we're going to build a foundation upon which we are going to teach other people the gospel, it has to be a foundation that lasts. If we actually look at it, going to Psalms 119, we talked about the first foundation is that of God and His existence. But take a look at Psalms 119, one aspect of God. And we're going to be looking at verse 30, Psalms 119, verse 30. I got the wrong verse. Start out wrong. How about that? Psalms 19 and verse 30. Oh, sorry, 18. Psalms 18. I haven't got it right yet. Psalms 18, verse 30. As for God, His way is blameless. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a shield for all who take refuge in it. For who is God but the Lord? And who is a rock except our God? God is a rock. God is something that endures. God lasts forever. But not just that, but in Psalms 119, going back there, and in verse 160, it says, the sum of your word is truth, and every one of your righteous ordinances is everlasting. God endures. God is existing forever. He doesn't change. The word that He gives us also endures. It lasts forever. It becomes a stable foundation. When Jesus came to earth, He also demonstrated this idea of endurance. Because in Hebrews chapter 12, Hebrews chapter 12, starting with verse 1, therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us also lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and protector of faith, who for the joy set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down on the right hand of the throne of God. For consider Him who has endured such hostility by sinners against Himself, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. What's the importance of endurance? What does that show? Jesus was so willing and so desirous of our salvation that he was willing to hold on through hostilities. He was willing to go through the cross on our behalf. That endurance shows the strength of what he believed in what he was doing. And so Christians are also called on to endure. Take a look at 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and in verse 3. Says, 2 Timothy 2 verse 3 says, suffer hardship with me as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. We too are going to have difficulties. And we're expected to endure through them. Not to give up when things get rough. And Jesus warned us that there were going to be persecutions. In Matthew chapter 5, my slide is being stubborn. This is fascinating. Try this again. See, that lets me change the slides or not. In Matthew chapter 5, starting with verse 10, it says, blessed are those who have been persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you and persecute you and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward in heaven is great. In the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. We are going to face persecution. Not because we're out to invite it, but because of who we are. In fact, what's following these statements, if you think about it, is the statements where Jesus comes right after it, is that we're the salt of the earth. We are the lights in the world. We stand out. And so the world then focuses its hostilities on us. If we're going to teach other people, we also have to show a belief in what Jesus stood for that endures the hostilities of the world. And so last Peter, or not Peter, but Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, as he went out to teach the gospel, 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 2, he says, but to me it is a very small thing that I may be in verse 2, in this case, moreover, it's required that stewards should be found to be trustworthy. We have to hang on. We have to be found faithful to God. And over in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, Paul says, starting with verse 1, therefore, since we have this ministry as we receive mercy, we do not lose heart, but we renounce the things hidden because of shame, not walking in craftiness or adulterating the word of God, but in the manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. Even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. The world is perishing. The world is not seeing the truth. And so it reacts in hostility. But we are to endure. In the book of 1 Peter, if you read through the book, There's about 16 times that Peter talks about suffering. He talks about the hardships that we as Christians have to go through. And he's not talking about hardships in general, but suffering because we're living for Christ. In 1 Peter chapter 4, starting with verse 15, if you are reviled for the name of Christ, you are blessed because the Spirit of God rests on you. Make sure that none of you suffers as a murderer or a thief or an evildoer or a troublesome meddler. But if anyone suffers as a Christian, he is not to be ashamed, but is to glorify God in his name. For it is time for judgment to begin with the household of God. And if it begins with us first, what will be the outcome of those who do not obey the gospel of Christ? And if it is with difficulty that the righteous is saved, what will become of godless men and the sinner? Therefore, those who have suffer according to the will of God shall entrust their souls to a faithful Creator in doing what is right. Sometimes I think when we teach people about the gospel, we forget about the matter of endurance. There are so many people that do look at Christianity as a solution to all their problems, not really realizing that there are still problems in the living in this world. And there are people who give up when their problems don't go away. One of the things we're called upon as Christians is to endure. And if we endure, then we are established. In chapter 5 of 1 Peter, down in verse 10, after you suffered for a little while, the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself perfect, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. When we get through this, God backs us up. God establishes us. We are now confirmed that we are Christians. It's not because we are doing things that are wrong and people hate us for the evil we're doing. It's because we're doing what is right. And the evil cannot stand that. It becomes then a foundation for which we must then live. That endurance is a benefit to us because it makes us grow. In Hebrews chapter 12, Hebrews chapter 12, starting with verse 5, Hebrews 12, verse 5, it says, and you've forgotten the exhortation which is addressed to you as a sons. My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor faint when you are reproved by him. For those whom the Lord loves, he disciplines, and he scourges every son whom he receives. It is for discipline that you endure. God deals with you as with sons. For what son is there whom his father does not discipline? But if you are without discipline, of which all have become partakers, then you're illegitimate children and not sons. Moreover, we have had earthly fathers to discipline us, and we respected them. Shall we not much more be subject to this Father of spirits and live? For they disciplined us for a short time as seemed best to them. But he disciplines us for our good, so that we may share his holiness. All discipline for the moment does not seem to be joyful but sorrowful. Yet to those who have been trained by it, afterwards it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness. Therefore strengthen the knees that are weak, and the hands that are weak, and the knees that are feeble, and make straight paths for your feet, so that the limb which is lame may not be put out of joint, but rather be healed. Pursue peace with all men, and the sanctification without which no one will see the Lord. We don't like suffering. We don't like having to endure, but we need it. It makes us into better people. I also mentioned the hardships of being a child earlier. None of us like it, but most of us as adults look back and appreciate what our parents did for us. We need to also see that as the same thing in, when we're enduring hardships in this world. It's making us stronger. It's not fun at the time, but it makes us and molds us into the people that we become. So we need endurance. In Hebrews chapter 10, and in verse 36, "For you have need of endurance, so that you, when you have done the will of God, you may receive what was promised." There's so many things in this world that we easily give up on. Always start things. I used to be really good at that. Start a whole bunch of projects I never quite finished. But this is a project we want to finish. We need to reach heaven. And we're setting an example for those we're trying to teach. If we're unstable in our beliefs, then those we try to teach will see that and it will be totally ineffective. But we need the endurance in order to reach heaven. In Revelation chapter 2 and in verse 10, "Do not fear what you're about to suffer. Behold, the devil is about to cast some of you into prison, but so that you will be tested and you will have tribulation for 10 days. Be faithful until death, and I will give you a crown of life." It ought not to be surprising that there are times of greatest growth in the church are the times when Christians are persecuted. You can look back at the beginning with the foundation of the church, the times when it was being persecuted by the Roman Empire, other times as well when evil tried to destroy the church. That is when it grew the most. Why? Because it set a foundation that other people admired. And so there is something there that has to be believed. Our endurance shows that this is real. When we build a foundation, each stone is built upon the other, laid upon the previous foundation. Our endurance testifies not only how strongly we believe, but we tell other people it's worth believing. But that foundation is meaningless if we don't live righteously. Our obedience to Christ shows that Christianity is doable. But it's meaningless if there's no resurrection. The resurrection means that death can be conquered and there is a reward in heaven. But it can't be proven without the Bible. The Bible tells us all we need to know about life and godliness. In fact, take a look at 1 Peter for a moment. 1 Peter chapter, or actually 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. And in verse 3, it says, "Seeing that His divine power has granted us to us everything pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and excellence." God has told us everything that we need for life and godliness in the Word of God. But it won't be accepted if people don't believe that God exists. God must exist. Not in the imagination of God, but the God. In order to build a foundation for everything else that we're trying to teach people. And so we need to lay the foundation so that we can teach other people. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and in verse 21. "For since in the wisdom of God, the world through His wisdom did not come to know God, God was well pleased through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe." That is our duty as Christians, to spread that message, to lay the foundation so that other people might become children of God. You have an opportunity today that if you're not yet a child of God, there's no better time than right now to put on Christ. And for those who are children of God and would like the prayers of your brethren on your behalf, why don't you come forward as we stand and sing the song that was selected.